Welcome to the edition of Spirit, August 2023. The quote of the month for August 2023 is, "Adventure is worthwhile in itself." Amelia Earhart. Dear readers, there's so much to be gained from travel. I remember a lesson from physical education class in maybe 5th grade, the title of which was, "Sitting in the New Smoking." The key takeaway from that lesson was that humans are not meant to be sedentary. Our bodies are built for motion. What I took away was that it's really important to walk around and explore. The day spent outside, morning coffees on the porch, going for a short walk or run, extensive travel, triathlons, these not only do immense good for the body, but also refresh the mind. It's always a challenge to leave the comfortable for something new or unfamiliar. It's okay to be afraid of change, but I can't say enough for the experiences in my life so far where I found new interests and developed my character further. We spent this month in India. I learned more about myself, my family, my friends, and especially about my heritage. It was a vibrant, colorful experience of a country with a rich, rich history. I sometimes forget how young of a country America is. Having the opportunity to travel is a real blessing because there's so much to learn about the wider world outside. Love, Editor Janu. Editor Janu at thehappyherald.org. Air travel in the 21st century. The rapid pace of acceleration in the world of technology seemed to have missed the airplane which we were assigned. I felt goosebumps rising as I squeezed my backpack through the narrow aisles between rows of tightly packed seats. After an alarming event where a passenger was caught smoking on the aircraft, we were off. Off to a rocky start, that is. I felt ready to be transported back in time, as we boarded the plane that looked like it had been preserved from the 1950s. The seats were cute and tiny. While they were small and adorable, they were also startlingly uncomfortable on a 10-hour plane trip. I wasn't the tallest person on the plane. I shuddered to think what that individual would have to undergo. The primary gleam of light during the journey came in the form of the snack cart that rolled down the aisle twice in the duration of the flight. The sparkle of excitement engendered by the rattle of the cart emerging from the flight attendant's corner was enough to sustain us passengers through any turbulence. Heads popped out into the aisles like lemurs as passengers sought to establish an ETA for when their snack cart would reach them. I could see the worry rising in the fellow in front of us. With every additional request of apple juice, please, he became more concerned. And with good reason. By the time the cart reached to him and he in turn requested apple juice, the attendant said, "I'm sorry, sir, we ran out. But we can offer you tomato." Old folk tales. Why the sun and moon live in the sky. Retold by Naveen. A long, long time ago, the sun, moon, and water were good friends who lived together on the earth. They met often and enjoyed each other's company. The sun and moon paid regular visits to the home of water and its family. Years passed and they became the best of buddies. The sun and moon continued their visits to water. Suddenly, one day, it occurred to the sun that water had never once tried to visit them. The sun wondered why. And the sun and the moon decided to ask water during their next visit. The next time they visited water, they asked why water never returned the visits. The water replied, "Your house isn't big enough for me and all my family to visit you. If all of us come down to your house, we probably would drive you out of your home. But if you do want us to visit you, you will need a very large house. And I do warn you that my people are numerous and take up a lot of room." The sun vowed to build a very large house along with the moon so they could have all of water and its family visit them. The Sun and Moon began building a large house to entertain Water and its numerous familiar relations. It took a few months, and the Sun thought it was ready. Happily, the Sun and Moon extended an invitation to Water, who gladly agreed to visit them. The chosen day arrived, and Water arrived with its people. One of the relatives of Water asked Sun if it was safe for the Water to enter. The Sun answered, "Yes. Tell my friend to come in." The water began to flow in, followed by the fish, snails, starfish, crabs, and all other water animals. Very soon the water was knee-deep in the house. So it called out to the Sun, "Dear friend, do you think it's still safe for us to come in? Can I ask more of my people to enter?" "Yes, my dear friend," said the Sun, and both the Sun and the Moon went up the stairs to the top floor. So more of Water and its people came in. The water was at the level of the man's head, of a man's head. Water checked in again, and not knowing any better, the Sun and the Moon both said, "Yes." More of the water peoples came in. Still, the Sun and the Moon had to sit up on the top of the roof. Until the Sun and the Moon had to sit on the top of the roof. The water once again asked Sun if it was okay to keep coming in. Sun and Moon, not wanting to be inhospitable, answered yes. So more and more of the water's people came in. Soon the water overflowed the top of the roof, and the Sun and the Moon were to keep going up. They kept going up as the water kept coming in. This forced the Sun and the Moon to go up into the sky, and they have been there ever since. Spirit Athletics, August 2023, highlights on R. Pragyananda, a chess prodigy. Your example shows how India's youth can conquer any domain. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi celebrated an 18-year-old chess grandmaster with these words earlier this month. R. Pragyananda, rising Indian chess prodigy, popularly known as Prag, made history yet again by earning the silver medal at the 2023 FIDE World Cup in Baku, Azerbaijan. India's 1.3 billion people celebrated his recent success as their own. Prag, a native of Chennai, Tamil Nadu, India, won the World Youth Chess Championship Under-8 title in 2013, earning his first FIDE Master title. In 2016, at the age of 10, Prag became the youngest international master in the history of the game. 2 years later, in 2018, he had become the world's then second youngest chess grandmaster. India now has 82 chess grandmasters, and only two of them are women. What does it take to be a grandmaster of chess? According to chess.com, 12,480 hours is the estimate for a threshold of effort to become a grandmaster level expert in chess. Grandmasters need to demonstrate their skill in multiple tournaments, and these tournaments must be international. Another requirement of being a grandmaster is success against chess grandmasters from other countries rather than the applicant's own. There are nearly 2,000 chess grandmasters from around the world, and they represent nearly every country on the map. Chess cannot be memorized, it must be practiced, and algorithms studied and perfected. It takes an astonishing degree of perseverance and skill to become an expert at chess and to win against the other experts. He is exceptionally talented, very hardworking and ambitious. It's a rare combination, stated Prague's chess coach. His growth and success on the international stage has been very steady. In 2019, he won the Extracon Chess Open in Denmark, the World Youth Championships, and became the second youngest to achieve a rating of 2,600. In 2021, he won the Polgar Challenge. In February 2022, at the Airthings Masters, Prag defeated the highest-ranking chess player in the world, Magnus Carlsen. Attention to his latest big win was brought by his exceptional performance in the World Cup 2023 final. Prag defeated world number 3 Fabiana Caruana in the semi-final to face the number 1 ranked Magnus Carlsen in the final. He ended up with the runner-up trophy, but experts have highlighted his grit and magnificent performances throughout the tournament. He is certainly an awesome testament to the accomplishment hard work can bring. South India's geographical diversity. South India in August tends to be blisteringly hot. Having primarily experienced life in the South Indian city of Chennai during the dog days of August, it was humid, sweaty heat that characterized the weather of the region. But the region has much more to offer, though the cities are incredible centers of industry and history as well. For instance, consider paying the cool and startlingly beautiful hilly regions of the South India a visit. They are cool in temperature as well as in overall coolness. Kodaikanal and Ooty are two stunning mountainous regions to visit. The mountain scenes stretch on forever, and the climate in these elevated villages is much more temperate than it is in more heavily populated, concretized villages or cities. The problem of urban heat is affecting India as much as blacktop paved cities in the United States. Many believe that more greenery could be the answer. It would be very interesting for India to pursue urban greenery projects such as green roofs. Entire hillsides in Kodaikanal this August were covered in lantana, a vivid flowery bush that attracts pollinators like bees and hummingbirds. The mountain gets quite cold in the evenings, but the warm daytime temperatures and humid conditions are conducive to a vast, diverse array of plants and wildlife. On a short trip to these spots, several types of monkeys, peacocks, bison, and a turtle were spotted. Madras, Tamil Nadu, is also home to one of the world's longest coastlines. The waves are incredible, huge and powerful, but the riptide can be extremely dangerous. Facing the Bay of Bengal, the coastline of Tamil Nadu is over 1,000 kilometers long, beginning from Kanyakumari, located at India's southernmost tip, to Chennai and Mahabalipuram in the north. It's startlingly beautiful at times. The light, colorful sky and the expansive Indian Ocean stretching on and on ahead. As we have described in the article about Cheran, Churan and Pandian in May 2023, many of the Tamil dynasties of kings were seafarers. It's astounding to move swiftly between urban coastline and just a few kilometers away rural rice paddies. Traditionally, it seems that the Mahanadi River divides the Indian subcontinent between the north and the south. One article will never be enough to explore all the region has to offer, not even if that article was 100,000 words and full of pictures. It's something that needs to be experienced. The fast-moving rivers, majestic mountains, tropical vegetation, and incredibly biodiverse fauna contrasted with the hilly, red clay farmland and busy villages set a rich and interesting stage for life in Tamil Nadu. If you have visited our recommendations or have other recommendations for other beautiful corners of the world, we want to hear from you. The Sixth Take on India, inspired by a true story by Janu. Names may be fictitious. The trip began with my realizing that I had left my jacket at home. My family had just reached the airport for the most exciting month of our summer, a wedding in India. My sister's nuptials were fast approaching, and to add to our delight, four of our incredible friends were joining us for what we optimistically thought of as the trip of a lifetime. My jacket, I ruffled through the luggage as everyone began writing labels and tying them to their bags at the check-in counter. It was nowhere to be seen. "You don't need to be so worried so much about a jacket on this trip," my brother said calmly, chugging the rest of his water bottle before stowing it away for security. "You're going to India," Dale supplemented. "It's hot there." He was busy tying a luggage tag to his 17-year-old brother, Jude's shoe, in case he gets lost. I was dubious, but followed my parents into the line for security. After waving goodbye to our friends' families, we were off. Walking out of the Indian airport was like walking into a humidifier. We arrived quite just before dawn in India. Our arrival, like everything else on this trip, was tumultuous. an airport was missing. I swear I just saw it. Probably fell somewhere here while you were sleeping. Talking over each other, the whole group fell to searching for it, until the airline staff gently booted us out of the plane, because the next trip had to be prepared for. Just as we were leaving the plane, my mom noticed an airport in the ground. Everyone cheered for a minute until we realized it wasn't the one we were looking for. Sadly, we disembarked the airplane, hoping against hope that somehow, somewhere, the airport would be recovered. As per usual, we put our stomachs before practicality, opting to try some street food instead of heading straight home to rest. The airport and the surrounding area, it was incredibly busy for how early it was. The tea shops were already busy, and we knew we were in India by the chatter and people milling about, as well as many stray dogs wandering the streets. First impressions of being in India, I said, turning the camera from face to face. This is really good, Matthew announced, raising a samosa and a toast. Andrew thinks it's spicy though. It is very spicy, Andrew said frankly. And that was the story of the whole trip. Shopping had to commence almost immediately because the travel my uncle and aunt arranged would start soon too. And we needed the classic attire for the wedding. The friends and Naveen were beyond delighted with their new clothes. Looking dapper, they congratulated each other. The packed, humid streets were in stark contrast with the cool, fancy air-conditioned store interiors. The gap between wealth and want in India is hard to explain, but it's something that all six of us experienced very viscerally. On the very first day out in Chennai, we were hailed by a very young boy with a swollen eye trying to sell stickers. It was so hard to feel so powerless to do anything directly to help. He should be at school, not wandering the roads alone trying to sell stickers. But then we saw him run over to vendors peddling their wares and sit down. Were they his parents? It reminded us how much we have at home. I was so proud of my brother and friends. And my friends approached the world during our trip. So open to learning, humble and reflective. Some of my favorite moments on the trip were the conversations we had between and after the little moments. Another incredible piece of adventure was a visit to the mountainous Kodaikanal region. We drove through the mountains on a huge van bus, peering out the windows to see monkeys swimming from tree to tree. As the elevation increased and the temperature dropped, I distinctly felt the absence of the sweatshirt I had left at home. Kodaikanal is a rich region. It's a region rich in history, and our stay there was among the coolest experiences of my life. The diverse wildlife, historic gardens and cathedrals, and stunning mountain views just compounded to make it an unforgettably beautiful place. Randomly at the hotel, Andrew miraculously recovered the missing airport, as if a mountain angel dropped it off. The hillsides were stacked with candy-like buildings, and the mountaintop temple we visited was peaceful architectural wonder. We just rattled around the mountains in the super fun van bus, in which each claimed a seat. Sometimes the bus was loud, with everyone talking. Sometimes it was quiet as we listened to music and looked out the windows. On the way back from Kodaikanal, while the bus was parked at the side of a road, I jogged across the highway to get a photo of the glorious hillside across the canyon. In the meantime, Naveen spotted a wild boar. The sky was a smoky yellow, and the whole drive back. Andrew insisted on playing some insanely captivating true crime podcast, which added to the etherealness of the moment. We listened to the story of the Watcher and the Silk Road, falling asleep to the landscape of India flying by the windows, as farms turned to cityscapes and the sky slowly turned dark. I'll always remember the trip and be grateful for it. Fine Arts, Ratty on a Rainy Day, poem by Janu. It rains on the way to breakfast as I go. Down the winding path, fruit awaits me, I know. Since fall feels like summer and winter feels like spring, more odd weatherly changes global warming will surely bring. Like a lamb on the farm searching for a friend, the rain will slowly cease, and this poem must end. But the sun will rise again and the clouds will gather more. Each day dawns anew, like all the days of yore. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of The Spirit. Email editorjanu@thehappyherald.org with inquiries. There is a picture of a coffee, cappuccino, and a beautiful landscape view. A positive story. There's some good in this world and it's worth fighting for. Samwise Gamgee in The Lord of the Rings. France ends mandatory printing of paper receipts. France ended the mandatory printing of paper receipts on August 1, 2023. This makes France a leader in paperless receipts. This considerably will reduce the amount of paper printing, positively reducing the crisis of deforestation. There are several other benefits associated with fewer paper receipts. Thermal paper coated with bisphenol A, BPA, and bisphenol S, BPS cannot be easily recycled, as these harsh chemicals cannot be removed. This not only saves trees, but also cost of receipts pending for companies, which on average spend about 0.015 to 0.05 cents per receipt, as a 16-foot paper roll costs between $2 to $10, resulting in a whopping $20,000 additional cost for a mid-sized business. We as consumers should also opt for no paper receipt and instead ask for e-receipts. Once we start asking for it, it will bring about a change. There are companies that already send e-receipts if we choose to. Our choices can really make a difference, and this is one small way to start. Project Echo, touching the whole world. And Dr. Sanjeev Arora created the All Teach, All Learn Echo model as a knowledge sharing infrastructure to serve communities in New Mexico. He dreamed that someday the world would feel the impact of the plane. Empowering local communities to access expert knowledge from where they live is an extremely powerful vision, and Dr. Arora knew that it would be a way for many people to access the benefits of public health that normally only a few could access. Project Echo is now a global model, one that addresses the greatest challenges with the simple concept of right knowledge at the right place at the right time, saving millions of lives. Making knowledge accessible at the right time is the key concept of Project Echo. Project Echo is a proven successful methodology. The New England Journal of Medicine did a thorough, rigorous evaluation in 2011, and the results showed that care delivered to hepatitis C patients by echo-trained providers was equal to that of the specialists in New Mexico. Essentially, Project Echo is a model where health specialists in one given location trained healthcare providers in more remote business locations, so that the specialized knowledge of the former can reach a much wider population. Echo was founded to meet the needs of New Mexicans using video conferencing and telementoring. This mission continues to this day, serving the underserved and rural communities. This has not only led to the growth of expertise in rural areas, but also improved healthcare outcomes across the land of enchantment. One in three Mexicans live in rural areas. One in three New Mexicans live in rural areas where there is a heavy shortage of healthcare providers. Obesity and diabetes are disproportionately higher here. Teen pregnancy among Latino females is higher than in any other racial and ethnic population in New Mexico. Substance use and alcohol use is also prevalent among Native Americans, leading to more deaths. Echo enables community and healthcare providers to learn best practices in behavioral health, diabetes, substance use disorders, child well-being, and education. During an Echo session, real cases are represented or presented by the specialists and discussed by the group. The participants learn from each other while knowledge and understanding are tested and refined through a local lens. There's a continuous learning, mentoring, and peer support throughout the process, which leaves a lasting impact beyond the webinar or e-learning. The holistic approach benefits everyone involved in Echo. Above is an example of an Echo session by the Sudanese American Medical Association, Sama. ECHO uses technology to address scarcity of resources, reducing complexity in the process of knowledge sharing and following best practices that become standards across the globe. The outcomes are monitored and data collected is evaluated to measure impact of these sessions. It's an exponential benefit, one triggered by a multiplier effect, as one ECHO specialist contributes to the development of 20 plus local experts, who then apply their newly acquired knowledge to improve the lives of the people in their communities. The ECHO model is a very scalable solution across multiple disciplines, not just healthcare. Studies have shown that ECHO can be used to empower various fields, including education and civics. Over the last 20 years, Project ECHO has created a ripple effect in healthcare and education. The global ECHO community is working to eliminate disparities across various disciplines, as we got to witness at the ECHO conference this fall. Dr. Arora's vision is to touch 1 billion lives by 2025, and the efforts of the global ECHO team are bringing that number closer and closer to that goal. We have always appreciated we rise by lifting others. Treadmill, a spirit cartoon by Thambu. As you live in a long, tall, storied building, a purple building, the sun is up in the sky, bright and shining. The person gets out of the home. I love living on the top floor. What a view. Now off to the gym for a run. Oh, he reaches the car and then says, oh, I forgot my keys. Pant, pant. Walks up the stairs, huff, puff, gets back down the stairs to the Jeep. Beep, beep, says his Fitbit with another daily fitness goal completed. The end. Thanks for listening to the August 2023 Spirit Edition. Have a wonderful day.